हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So, Anjalila chapter 1, Srila Rupa Goswami's second meeting with the Lord, page 19. Srila Ramananda Rai further inquired, how have you described Vrindavan, the vibration of the transcendental flute, and the relationship between Radha, between Krishna and Radhika? Please tell me all this, for your poetic ability is wonderful. After offering obeisances to Ramananda Rai, Rupa Goswami gradually began answering his inquiries. Lord Krishna said, the sweet, fragrant honey oozing from the newly grown mango buds is again and again attracting groups of bumblebees, and this forest is trembling in the softly moving breezes from the Malaya hills, which are full of sandalwood trees. Thus, the forest of Vrindavan is increasing like transcendental pleasure. Note 20. This verse can be Dagdamadava 123. Lord Balaram said to Sridhama, my dear friend, see how this forest of Vrindavan is full of transcendental creepers and trees. The tops of the creepers are full of flowers, and intoxicated bumblebees are buzzing around them, humming songs that please the ear and surpass even the Vedic hymns. Note 21. This is a verse can be Dagdamadava 124. Lord Krishna said to Mother Mangal, my dear friend, this forest of Vrindavan is giving great pleasure to our senses in various ways. Somewhere bumblebees are singing in groups, and in some places mild breezes are cooling the entire atmosphere. Somewhere the creepers and tree twigs are dancing. The mallika flowers are expanding their fragrance, and an abundance of juice is constantly flowing in showers from pomegranate fruits. Vidagamadava 131. Purnamasi said to Lalita Devi, the flute of Krishna's pastimes measures three fingers in length and is dedicated with Indranila gems. At the ends of the flute are Aruna gems, rubies, glittering beautifully, and between its ends the flute is plated with gold, set ablaze by diamonds. This auspicious flute, pleasing to Krishna, is glittering in his hand with transcendental brilliance. Vidagdhamadava 3.1. Srimati Radharani said, my dear friend, the flute, it appears that you have been born of a very good family, for your residence is in the hands of Sri Krishna. By birth, you are simple and not at all crooked. Why then have you taken initiation into this dangerous mantra that enchants the assembled gopis? Vidagdhamadava 5.17. Chandravali Shaki said, my dear friend, the flute, you are actually full of many holes, or faults. You are light, hard, juiceless, and full of knots. What kind of pious activities have you engaged in the service of being kissed by the Lord and embraced by his hands? Vidagdhamadava 4.7. Manu Mangal said, the transcendental vibration of Krishna's flute blocked the movements of the rain clouds, struck the Gandharvas full of wonder, and agitated the meditation of great saintly persons like Shanaka and Sananda. It created wonder in Lord Brahma, wrought intense curiosity that agitated the mind of Bali Maharaj, who was otherwise firmly fixed, made Maharaj Ananta, the carrier of the planets, whirl around and penetrating the song. And penetrated strong coverings of the universe. Thus, the sound of the flute in the hands of Krishna created a wonderful situation. Vidarbha Madhava 127. Purnamasi said, the beauty of Krishna's eyes surpasses the beauty of white lotus flowers. His yellow garments surpass the brilliance of fresh decorations of kumkuma. His ornaments of selected forest flowers subdue the hankering for the best of garments. And his bodily beauty possesses mind-attracting splendor greater than the jewels known as Marathakamani, emeralds. Vidarbha Madhava 117. Alita Devi said to Srimati Radharani, O most beautiful friend, please accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is standing before you full of transcendental bliss. The borders of his eyes roam from side to side. His eyebrows move slowly like bumblebees on his lotus-like face. Standing with his right foot placed below the knee of his left leg. In the middle of his body curved in three places and his neck gracefully tilted to the side. He takes his flute to his pursed lips and moves his fingers upon it here and there. This verse is from the Lalita Madhava Nataka. Okay, so that's instead of Vidarbha Madhava, that's Lalita Madhava. 427, a 10-act play by Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani said to Lalita Devi, O beautiful-faced one who is this creative person standing before us? With the sharp chisels of his loving glances, he is splitting the hard stones of many women's devotion to their husband, and with the luster of his body, surpassing the brilliance of countless emeralds. He is simultaneously constructing private meeting places for his pastimes. Lalita Madhava 152. Lalita Devi said to Srimati Radharani, my dear friend, this newly youthful Lord Sri Krishna, the moon in the family of Nanda Maharaj, is so beautiful that he defies the beauty of clusters of valuable jewels. How glorious is the vibration of his flute. For it is cunningly breaking the patience of chaste ladies by loosening their belts and tight dresses. Lalita Madhava 149. Purnamasi said, the beauty of Srimati Radharani's eyes forcibly devours the beauty of newly grown blue lotus flowers, and the beauty of her face surpasses that of an entire forest of fully blossomed lotuses. Her bodily luster seems to place even gold into a painful situation. Thus, the wonderful, unprecedented beauty of Srimati Radharani is awakening in Vrindavan. Vidarbha Madhava 132. Sri Krishna said to Madhavamangal, although the effulgence of the moon is brilliant initially at night, and the daytime it fades away, certainly, although the lotus is beautiful during the daytime, at night it closes. But, oh my friend, the face of my most dear Srimati Radharani is always bright and beautiful both day and night. Therefore, what can her face be compared? Vidarbha Madhava 520. Because, you know, one is beautiful here, one's beautiful there. So they have their beauty and they're glorified. But Radharani's face is so beautiful, it's more than both of them, and there's nothing to compare it to. Lord Krishna said, when Srimati Radharani smiles, waves of joy flow over her cheeks and her arched eyebrows dance like the bow of Cupid. Her glance is so enchanting that it is like a dancing bumblebee moving unsteadily due to intoxication. That bee has bitten the whorl of my heart. Vidarbha Madhava 251. Right. 3.1, 172, 185. Having heard these verses recited by Rupa Goswami, Srila Ramananda Rai said, your poetic expressions are like continuous showers of nectar. Kindly let me hear the introductory portion of the second drama. Srila Rupa Goswami said, in your presence, which is like brilliant sunshine, I am as insignificant as the light of a globe. It is even imputed for me to open my mouth before you. Then, having said this, he recited the introductory verse of the Lalitamadava, 34. Lalitamadava is a 10-act play of the Nataka type. Srila Rupa Goswami describes the symptoms of a Nataka in his book, Nataka Chandrika, verse 6, as follows. Based on the nature and position of the hero, the script of Nataka should contain Prakrit and Sanskrit languages, as well as the best quality of poetry, should be prepared without any faults and joyful for everyone. That it, this is the symptom of Nataka. Srila Rupa Goswami describes about the categorization of the 10 acts in the Nataka Chandra as follows. The Prakrit, elements of the plot, is said to be five kinds, namely Bijam, Bindu, Pataka, Prakati, and Karya. The cause of work, which has started as a small but later expanded into manifold, is known as Bijam by the experts. Just as in Lalitamadava, the first and second acts of the sun is designated to be Mukta Sandesh, the hidden attachment between Sri Radha and Madhava is called Bijam. Right? So it starts as small, right? So it's showing the hidden attachment between Radha and Madhava. But then by the end of the fifth, the conclusion of the fifth section, you know, or in the tenth act, then you'll see is that will have fully blossomed like that. So this whole development between the Bijam, Bindu, Pataka, Pakardi, and Kardi is going to be how that story arc is going to be how that develops from the seed, which is the attraction between Radha and Krishna, to the manifestation of our life in Krishna. The main stream of the story is broken because of another incident related by the topic, but it ultimately becomes an instrument to complete the main theme. It is called Bindu. Right? So, Right? In other words, you have the seed, as we mentioned, which is Radha Krishna's attachment. Then there's some other incident that's going to come up. It means they're in a particular situation. Then another situation comes up in which it breaks that progression. But at the same time, because of that break and in the nature of it, it actually then becomes what brings them together, you know, later, or it furthers the plot forward. But instrument. As stated there itself in Lalitamadava and Pratimukh Sunday of third and fourth chapter, for the main thing, Lord Krishna's departure towards the city, is broken and again comforted himself by saying, Etas Turnam, Lalitamadava 321, quickly lead all these women. Lord Krishna, being hopeful by the statement of the sun god, says, Nirne Mangshu, Lalitamadava 410. Such interlude during the act is called Bindu. Right? So an interlude will be something that is, it's like a break. The Bindu is moving, but it's an interlude where it's not moving. But at the same time, other things are going on. It's not like an interlude in other, let's say, performances where it's just the gap in between or something like that. No, it's where it's not moving, and it's in the in how it was progressing before, but now with this new arrangement, it'll have some other aspects that bring out the progression. If a topical story goes along with the main story for some length and becomes helpful to achieve the desired goal, that is called by the intellect's pataka, you know, flag. The character of Purnamasi and Uddhava, by that order in Garbha Sandhi, a fifth and sixth chapters of Lalitamadava is called Pataka. Right? So then some interaction between Purnamasi and Uddhava, or their interaction with others, is going to be a parallel theme that's going along with it, and is somehow another supporting. And it becomes helpful in achieving the main goal. So then Uddhava is trying to arrange certain things. Purnamasi is arranging, the two of them are working together. And so they're doing other things that are coming along that are on the side. They're parallel things, but they become supportive of that main thing. So that's the third section, right? Prakari is a typical topical story that goes along for a limited length and fulfills the desires of others, just as in the case of Navabrinda. The character of Navabrinda and Bokula, as mentioned there by that order in Himarshi Sandhi of 7 and 8 chapters called Prakari. Right, so then others, it's also another topical story, but it's not going for necessarily a longer time. It's a short thing that is happening. And in that, we see that particular characters are trying to accomplish something. And in that accomplishment, you know, they're trying to fulfill somebody's desires. And so in this way, naturally, it would be that of Radha Krishna or that of Uddhava and Purnamasi. They're working for someone else that it's also connected with it, but it's something short that just comes in and then brings more flavor there. The goal of the whole project is called Karya. Just as the meeting of Sri Radha and Krishna together is the chief goal of the book, named Lalita Madhava, as revealed here in near Vahana Sandhi of this book, the reunion and further pastimes of Radha Madhava in that order of ninth and tenth acts of Lalita Madhava is known as Karyam, Radhika Chandrika 31-36. Right, so there he's explained that this is what goes in the Nataka. So the whole thing is also going on in Vidagdha Madhava, but it only has 7 acts. So there'll be some way that it's divided up, but these 5 stages will be there. So you have the seed that becomes fructified at the end. You have something that comes in that changes the direction or changes the whole what's going on, how it's developed, but it ultimately is a cause for bringing everything together. Then you're going to have the underlying story that is going to be supporting and trying in so many ways to bring Radha and Krishna together. Then the fourth section will be where you have some individuals that are working to benefit others in this, and they're furthering the storyline. And then the fifth is how it all resolves and comes together and concludes. The beautiful moonlight glories of Mukunda give distress to the lotus-like faces of the wives of the demons, and their raised breasts, which are like gleaming chakravaka boards. Those glories, however, are pleasing to all his devotees, who are like chakorda birds. Chakorda birds, then they only drink the nectar, the chandra chakora. They drink from the moon nectar. So the devotees are like that. May those glories forever give pleasure to you all. 35. This is the first verse of Act 1 of Lalita Madhava. When Srila Ramananda Rai further inquired about the second introductory verse, Srila Rupa Goswami was somewhat hesitant. But nonetheless, he began to recite. The moon-like supreme personality of Godhead, who is known as the son of Mother Sachi, has now appeared on earth to spread devotional love of himself. He is the emperor of the Brahmana community. He can drive away all the darkness and ignorance and control the mind of everyone in the world. May that rising moon bestow upon us all good fortune. This is the third verse of Act 1 of Lalita Madhava. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inwardly greatly pleased when he heard this verse, externally he spoke as if angry. Your exalted poetic descriptions of the melons of Lord Krishna's pastimes are like an ocean of nectar. But why have you put in a false prayer about me? It's like a drop of detestable alkali. Right? Because you have nectar and then you put alkali. Alkali is very astringent. It just changes the whole flavor. You don't get a proper flavor then. Srila Ramananda Rai objected. It is not alkali at all. It is a particle of camphor he has put into the nectar of this exalted poetic expression. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Ramananda Rai, you are jubilant at hearing these poetic expressions, but I am ashamed to hear them. For people in general will joke about the subject of this verse. Ramananda Rai said, instead of joking, people in general will feel great pleasure in hearing such poetry. for the initial remembrance of the worship of the deity invokes good fortune. Right? So he's saying initial remembrance of the worship of deity, Lord Chaitanya, it gives good fortune. He says, oh, this is like alkali. No, no, no. It's like a particle of camphor just to bring out a nectar. Ramananda Rai inquired, by which subdivision of style do the players enter? Didn't we discuss all this before? Anyone? Haladar? See, didn't we go through this?
If this is a, this is also the after the introduction for Vidagdha Madhava, we discussed. Lalita Madhava also has the same pattern.
Oh, same, okay, okay. So that was the previous one, was the discussion of Vidagdha Madhava, and now about Lalita Madhava. Okay, because basically in both of them, he glorified Lord Chaitanya. Slightly different, but in both of them, Lord Chaitanya gets grumpy like that. He's actually pleased, but it just shows that. Ramananda Rai inquired, by which subdivision of style would the players enter? Rupa Goswami then began to speak specifically about the subject. Quote, while dancing on the stage, after having killed the ruler of uncivilized men, Kamsa, Lord Krishna, master of all arts, will at the proper time accept the hand of Srimati Radharani, who is qualified with all transcendental attributes. Lalita Madhava 1:11. This introduction is technically called Udgatyaka. And the whole scene is called Viti. You are so expert in dramatic expression that each of my statements before you is like a wave from an ocean of impudence. Srila Prabhupada. So he has the mood. So it's interesting here is that he's being humble and he feels, you know, unqualified to speak in such a situation. And so, but at the same time, he's been requested by Ramananda Rai, who he considers his superior. And so he's therefore answering, you know. So much of the time we'd say is, if he's answering, then he'll be, you know, he's comfortable in all this. Or if he's feeling shy, he won't say anything. But here, as you see, they're showing their shyness and their feeling of inadequacy. But at the same time, because they've been asked by a superior, they are answered. So both are going on at once.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Also, both the styles of introduction are different, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava.
Yes, yes, yes. In this Srila Prabhupada, in this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur again quotes the following verse from the Sahitya Darpana 6:288. Udgatika katod gata prayoga tishayas tata pravartaka valagite pancha prastavana dita. Thus, the technical names for the five kinds of introductory scenes of the drama are listed as Udgatika katod gata prayoga tishaya pravartaka and avalagita. When Srila Ramananda Rai inquired which of these five Srila Rupa Goswami had used to accomplish the technical introduction to his drama, Lalita Madhava, Rupa Goswami replied that he had used the introduction technically called Udgatika. According to the Bharati Vritti, three technical terms used are Prarochana, Viti, and Prahasana. Thus, Rupa Goswami also mentioned Viti, which is a technical term for a certain type of expression. According to the Sita Dharpana 6:520, Vityam eko bhavet anka anka kaschid eko tra kalpyate aksha bhashi ter uptaish chitram pratyuktim ashritaha. The Viti, beginning of a drama, consists of only one scene. In that scene, one of the heroes enters the stage, and by means of opposing statements uttered by a voice from the sky off stage, he introduces the abundant conjugal mellow and other mellows to some degree. In the course of the introduction, all the seeds of the play are planted. This introduction is called Udgatika because the player dances on the stage. This term also indicates that the full moon enters the stage. In this case, when the word natata, dancing on the stage, is linked with the moon, its meaning is obscure. But because the meaning becomes very clear when the word natata is linked with Krishna, this type of introduction is called Udgatika. Srila Ramananda Rai used highly technical terms when he discussed the subject with Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami stated that Srila Ramananda Rai was a greatly learned scholar of bona fide dramatic composition. Thus, although Srila Rupa Goswami is quite fit to answer Srila Ramananda Rai's questions, due to his Vaishnava humility, he said that his words were impudent. Actually, both Rupa Goswami and Ramananda Rai were scholarly experts in composing poetry and presenting it strictly according to the Sahitya Darpana and other Vedic literatures. 3.1.186-188. Srila Rupa Goswami continued quoting. To explain an unclear word, men generally join it with other words. Such an attempt is called Udgatika. 38. This verse is quoted from the Sahitya Darpana 6.2.89. So here's another aspect, right? So you have the aspect of dancing, you have the aspect connecting with the moon, right? So then Krishna is like the moon. And then you also have unclear word is joined with other words, you know, to try to make it more clear. And that's also when Ramananda Rai requested Srila Rupa Goswami to speak further about various portions of the play, Srila Rupa Goswami briefly quoted his long Dhammarama. The dust from cows and calves on the road creates a kind of darkness, indicating that Krishna is returning home from the pasture. Also, the darkness of evening provokes the gopis to meet Krishna. Thus, the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis are covered by a kind of transcendental darkness and are therefore impossible for ordinary scholars of Vedas to see. Srila Prabhupada. This verse from the Lalita Madhava 1.23 is spoken by Purnamasi in a conversation with Gargi. Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 2.45, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtraigunyo Bhavarjuna. Thus, he advised Arjuna to rise above the modes of material nature. For the entire Vedic system is filled with descriptions involving Satyaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. People are generally covered by the quality of Rajaguna and are therefore unable to understand the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis of Raja. Moreover, the quality of Tamaguna further disturbs our understanding. In Vrindavan, however, although Krishna is covered by the hazy darkness of the dust, the gopis can nevertheless understand that within the dust storm is Krishna, because they are his topmost devotees. They can perceive his hand in everything. Thus, even in the dark or in the hazy storm of dust, devotees can understand what Krishna is doing. The purport of this verse is that under no circumstances is Krishna ever lost to the vision of exalted devotees like the gopis. Right, so it may be covered to others. And so others, then the scholars in that, they can't understand. But the gopis and the exalted devotees, it says like the gopis, they can always see Krishna everywhere. So even if the darkness comes in, they can still see, they can still know where Krishna is. They never become, their understanding never becomes covered. 3.1.189.1. Srila Rupa Goswami continued quoting. Gargi, the daughter of Gargamuni, said, may the sweet sound of Lord Krishna's flute, his authorized messenger, be glorified, for it expertly releases Srimati Radharani from her shyness and attracts her from her home to the forest. Lalita Madhava 1.24. Srimati Radharani said to Lalita, my dear friend, who is this fearless young man? He is as bright as a lightning cloud, and he wanders in his pastimes like a man and elephant. From where has he come to Vrindavan? Alas, by his restless movements and attractive glances, he is plundering from the vault of my heart the treasure of my patience. Vidagdha Lalita Madhava 2:11. Lord Krishna expresses his thoughts. Srimati Radharani is the Ganges in which the elephant of my mind enjoys pastimes. She is the shining of the full autumn moon for the chakora birds of my eyes. She is the dazzling ornament, the bright and beautiful arrangement of stars on the border of the sky of my chest. Now today I have gained Srimati Radharani because of the highly elevated state of my mind. Lalita Madhava 2:10. Sri 1192-197. After hearing this, Srila Ramananda Rai submitted at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the super excellence of Srila Rupa Goswami's poetic expression and began to praise it as if he had thousands of mouths. Srila Ramananda Rai said, "This is not a poetic presentation. It is a continuous shower of nectar. Indeed, it is the essence of all ultimate realization, appearing in the form of plays." Right? So it's not just poetry, the technical thing, and oh, see how I said this, see how I said that. It's that he's using those techniques, the form of the play, to shower nectar in the pastimes of Radha Krishna. So we see this here is that all the subject matters, they all very nicely all support the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Right? So you have all the different, the 14 books, they all have their purpose and how they add to the you know, environment, the atmosphere, the pastimes, the, you know, the different tastes and such that are there in the pastimes in Raja unfolding between Radha and Krishna. Because in this is, you know, everything's poetry and there's always going to be this aspect that there's going to be the underlying affection of, you know, attraction between Radha and Krishna. Then each day a new festival will unfold. How these will come together? What are the main themes, the side themes? What are the supporting themes, the opposing themes? All those until they all are able to come together. And so, and within that, then you see is, you know, they're taking care of the cows, you know, the cooking's going on, the serving, the etiquettes. You know, they're worshiping the deities, they're singing songs, there's dancing. You know, so all these different arts and sciences are all there. And they're all supporting these pastimes. So that's the actual point. That's the spontaneous devotional service. That it's about that spontaneous attraction to Krishna, that affection for Krishna, that expressing that and the interaction with Krishna. But it's using the medium of whatever is that secondary form. Because that secondary form is so perfectly used, you don't have to make the distinction, right? It's all perfectly used there. In the material world, then the distinction is made. You can use the poetics, and you can use it nicely for Krishna. Or you can misuse the poetics, and of course, then end up with, you know, just mundane nonsense. So here, then you see is that there are those who are about their expressing of the poetry. And it's about their expression and the taste they're getting from expressing it, rather than they're expressing it that the audience may taste. Right? Then you get those that, oh, it's so technical and how it did this and how it did that, and oh, it's just it's so nice like that, just because of the mechanics of it. But Ramananda Rai makes the point: no, it's not poetry, it's not, it's just nectar. It happens to be in the form of a drama. But it's just nectar. It's just a constant shower of nectar. It's not just a drop here and there. It's a constant shower. It's just so wonderful. Right? So that's the whole, that's what's being offered by Krishna when he's mentioned this Sarva Dharmam Parityaja, that you bring that, you just give up all these other aspects of religion and just surrender to Krishna. When you do that, all these other aspects of religion just support that pastime of Krishna, that surrender to Krishna, the service to Krishna. It just supports that. It doesn't have any other purpose. So, but if you're taking as those are made, then you engage them in Krishna's service, it's always going to be appreciated by Krishna. And you're going to be purified of the material contamination. Why say material contamination? Because one's acting according to one's conditioning because of the desire to act according to one's conditioning. You know, and then engage that Krishna service. You get purified to the point where you want to express, love and service to Krishna. It just happens to take on the form that your conditioning is. But it's not about the conditioning, because one no longer identifies there, one only identifies as a servant of Krishna. So in other words, all the tools, all the secondary aspects are valuable in that they bring one closer to the primary, which is that exchange of love between Krishna and the devotees. And at the same time, as once it does switch to the primary is it, then the secondary just becomes supportive. So you don't notice that they go together. You know, it makes a wonderful arrangement. You know, you just count it as one arrangement. Let's say you made a nice arrangement, the decorations and everything. So seeing the deity is the main point. And then the altar and all that is that. But it just makes one picture that it's all just so beautiful, Krishna and the decorations that are done by all the devotees in their devotion. It looks very, very wonderful. Right? Rather than you just say, oh, that's a nice decoration, and that's this and that, but you're not even really noticing so much the deities. Does that make sense? So its importance is how it supports the deities, not it in itself. You know, otherwise we get just discussing that. So one can very easily get distracted. But of course, if it's in context of serving Krishna, it's always going to be beneficial and it's always going to be glorious. But it's not. It still has ways to go to reach the maturity in that we see that Rupa Goswami and is presenting here and being appreciated by Ramananda Rai in the association of Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur and the other devotees. The wonderful descriptions of Rupa Goswami are superb arrangements to express loving affairs. Hearing them will plunge the heart and ears of everyone into a whirlpool of transcendental bliss. Quote, what is the use of a bowman's arrow or a poet's poetry if they penetrate the heart but do not cause the head to spin? Without your mercy, such poetic expressions would be impossible for an ordinary living being to write. My guess is that you have given him the power. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I met Srila Rupa Goswami at Prayag. He attracted and satisfied me because of his qualities, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to some and neutral to others. One can actually draw the attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by service. Then one is further empowered by the Lord to act in such a way that everyone can appreciate his service. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4:11. Ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva vajamyaham. Krishna is responsive. If one tries to render his best service to the Lord gives him the power to do so. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Te sham satatayuktanam vajatam pritipurvakam dadami bhuti yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they become to me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his special favor upon Sri Rupa Goswami because Rupa Goswami wanted to serve the Lord to the best of his ability. Such is the reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord in the discharge of devotional duties. So Rupa Goswami wants to serve in the best way possible. And so then Lord Chaitanya blesses him to be able to do, you know, such amazing things that Ramananda Rai and he also see Swoop Damodar have pointed out that he must have had your blessings to be able to do this, because otherwise no ordinary living entity could do like this. No one could speak like this. I mean, the poetry that's here, you're not going to find anywhere else. Even the best poets and all that, the most glorified, you know, nice things, but they don't compare to the shower of nectar of Rupa Goswami. 31198202. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised the metaphors and other literary ornaments of Srila Rupa Goswami's transcendental poetry. Without such poetic attributes, he said, there is no possibility of preaching transcendental melodies. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all his personal associates to bless Rupa Goswami so he might continuously describe the pastimes of Vrindavan, which are full of emotional love of Godhead. Right, so as we mentioned before, the metaphors and other literary ornaments, that's natural in poetry. And so therefore, then we see that all this, these things are going on. So he's writing like this, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking in this way, Vyasadeva is writing in this way. So Bhagavatam and the is full of these metaphors and other literary ornaments. And so that's the point. It's an ornament within the transcendental message. So the point is the message that you have to catch, right? And so it's not that the medium is the message. No, the message is the message, right? So when we get distracted by the medium and get into the metaphors, well, it's not actually real what is being said. It's just metaphors and all that. Actually, you know, something else. We don't want to scare people, you know, that Rakshasa was so big and he had orange hair and ate big teeth. No, these are just things that are being said. In actuality, just, you know, he was a tough guy, big guy who was unbloodly. No, that's not the thing. We can't use these things. The metaphors of that are just to support what's actually being presented. So that pure devotion and all those forms are there. So we have to be able, we have to avoid this scholarly distractions that come up due to the skepticism of those who, you know, don't actually appreciate the transcendental mellows. You know, I spent the pot, he said, unless without poetic attributes, there is no possibility of preaching transcendental mellows. So if you remove these things, how do you preach the transcendental mellows? How will people be attracted and all those things like that?
Maharaj?
Yes.
Baladeva Vidya Bhushan mentions this point that the rasa and the direct message is the soul of the composition. And then the qualities such as the sweetness and clarity, it's the body, and the metaphors are just the ornaments on top of it.
Yes. But sometimes you hear that they take the ornaments and say, oh, they're just exaggerating. So it's not actually like this. It says their hands are down to their knees. He just says, oh, they're just saying that they, you know, that they're long arms. They don't have little short stubby arms like a T-Rex or something like that, or a kangaroo. But they don't actually physically go down to the knees. That's their idea. So these kinds of statements by foolish, you know, that foolish statements by those who identify this as in scholarly ways, that the pure Vaishnavas, you know, can't regard them as valuable statements. Because the whole point is, it's like that, is that the actual Siddhanta and the rasa that's there, that's the main thing. I would say the clarity and the disappear.
Vigor and then sweetness.
Clarity. Sweetness, then that's going to be the form that it's going to be. In other words, you're going to give the message of, you know, the Lord's glories and rasa that's there through clarity and sweetness. And then on top of that, it'll be ornamented with all the different metaphors and everything else like that. So the whole point is you have to know what is the actual message. And that, because otherwise, if you use these metaphors against the message, you know, to use the ornaments against and say, oh, they're not that beautiful. You know, it's just the ornaments are there. That's what that seemingly makes beautiful. But actually, it's an ordinary situation. We have to be very careful with this. Like that. So we appreciate how it's all being very nicely discussed. That it all goes together on the transcendental platform. They all become one thing. You know, you can point out the differences in the aspects of there just to appreciate, like you see as they talk about the details of, you know, Krishna's eyes or his glances or his smile or how he's standing or his clothes. These are to bring out that essential point of that taste that's there and the glories that are there. And then how they speak them, you know, that they're very specific to the points and they're very sweetly done. then you're going to have just the technical, the way they use and the ornaments and the words they use and the syllables that were uttered. And that just makes it even more nice. But you see, much of the time that the poetic scholars, they just focus on these technical details. And they miss out on the body and form and all that. And the goal is not about the message about the Lord and the taste and rasa about the Lord. The goal is to be appreciated. So dhanam, dhanam, sundarim, that's the goal. And so then they miss the whole point. You're supposed to be presenting the one in this form with these ornaments. But they take the ornaments and then add to that some sweetness and this and that so that people will appreciate them. So we see is that it's backwards. Yeah, it's backwards. And it means they may get some temporary benefit, but they won't actually get any lasting benefit. Lasting benefit means you bring out the glory. Without such specific poetic attributes, he says, there's no possibility of preaching transcendental knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all his personal associates to bless Rupa Goswami so that he might continuously describe the pastimes of Vrindavan, which are full of emotional love of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srila Rupa Goswami's elder brother, whose name is Sanatana Goswami, is such a wise and learned scholar that no one is equal to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ramanandarai, Sanatana Goswami's renunciation of material connections is just like yours. Humility, renunciation, and excellent learning exist in him simultaneously. Right? Because sometimes you see, if they have renunciation or excellent learning, then you know, or humility, they don't go together. Or some humble, so these other aspects don't come out. If he's renounced, then you don't see the other two. Or he's excellent in learning, then he's not humble or renounced. But these all three are together, so it becomes so nicely glorified. I empowered both of these brothers to go to Vrindavan to expand the literature of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Srila Ramananda Roy that he and Sanatana Goswami and engaged equal in devotional service after giving up all relationships and material activity. Such renunciation is a symptom of an unalloyed devotee engaged in the service of the Lord, with no tinge of material contamination. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the position of Trinada Pisa Nichena, Todor Nivasa Yishvina. A pure devotee, free from the reactions of the material modes of nature, executes devotional service with tolerance like that of a tree. He also feels humbler than the grass. Such a devotee, who is called Niskinchana, or free from all material possessions, is always absorbed in emotional love of Godhead. He is reluctant to perform any kind of sense gratification. In other words, such a devotee is free from all material bondage, but he engages in Krishna conscious activities. Such expert devotional service is performed without hypocrisy. Humility, renunciation, and learned scholarship were combined in Sanatana Goswami, the ideal pure devotee, who is on the same level of understanding as Srila Ramananda Rai. Like Ramananda Rai, Sanatana Goswami was a fully cognizant expert in the conclusions of devotional service and was therefore able to describe such transcendental knowledge. 3.1.2.3.2.5. Yes, so then Sanatana Goswami is writing all these nice things to bring about that devotional, that proper understanding, because he understands, fully cognizant, expert in the conclusions. So then when he writes his literatures as he gave, then one should understand is their purpose is to bring you to that transcendental position. So when some say the Hari Bhakti Vilas is to, free those, on the Karmakanda platform and bring them to, the devotional service, then it's talking, it's Yes, it'll work on those who are attached to rituals. So here the ritual is very nicely given and technical there. Therefore, you can happily, you know, therefore engage in the rituals as given by Sanatana Goswami and not be distracted by others. And so then, yes, that aspect is there, but that's the beginning stage. What about our fruitive mentality that we want to benefit from whatever we do, whether we're following these technical rules or not? So we'll say, oh, we chant, we don't care for the rules, but have you given up the desire for results from action? Right? So we'll say is, oh, but then is Yukta Vairagya actually going on? You know, just because I'm using a phone, that doesn't make me a pure devotee. The whole idea is, oh, but you use a phone, so that's Yukta Vairagya. You know, it's like, but why the phone? Why the phone? You know, why not other things? Why not my hand? Why not the body, my clothes, the room, the food, eating, sleeping? It's the whole thing has to be seen. So when all this is seen together, that this is all being used nicely in the Lord's service. And so, therefore, all the way up to the topmost platform, to the ultimate platform, then this applies. And so, yes, it will catch those, you know, who are attached to the rituals and bring them all the way up. But that's just, it's so broad that it goes from that group there all the way up to the pure and alloyed devotees. Like that, but just to say, it's just for that, you know, it doesn't have the higher aspects and all that. That would be unfortunate. You know, that would be unfortunate. So we have to understand if he's on the same platform of realization like Ramananda Rai, and we understand what it is. But the point is Ramananda Rai, his discussions were specifically on this Prayojana Tattva. While Sanatana Goswami, then his Sambandha Tattva means he learned from the beginning all the way through Abhideya and Prayojana. But he's presenting it as this is the fundamentals of Krishna consciousness that you have to know so that you can appreciate that, and being absorbed in that can bring you to the topmost platform. Like that. So when needs to appreciate, that's why then Rupa Goswami is simply taking that portion, explaining that in detail of Abhideya, how to apply it. But he's saying that, you know, he sees his elder brother, like his guru, that he's gotten this knowledge from there. Though Lord Chaitanya did instruct him and all that, but he still sees that, you know, Sanatana Goswami, his elder brother, is superior. Srila Ramananda Rai replied to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you like, you can cause even a wooden doll to dance. I see that the truths regarding transcendental mellows that you expounded through my mouth are all explained in the writings of Srila Rupa Goswami. Because of your causeless mercy towards your devotees, you want to describe the transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan. Anyone empowered to do this can bring the entire world under your influence." Right? So what we see is that the opening point is that them being empowered and them being empowered, they're not interested, like it says before, they're not interested in the material like that. Material world's here, but they're not interested. They're only interested in how it can be engaged in the Lord's service. And so then they're able to then bring the entire world under Lord Chaitanya's influence. So that's the opening verse of the Upanishad. Srila Prabhupada, this passage parallels the statement Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana, which means that unless empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, one cannot spread the holy name of the Lord throughout the entire world. Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya 7:11. Under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a pure devotee can preach the holy name of the Lord so that everyone may take advantage of this facility and thus become Krishna conscious. Right? So when one surrenders to the Lord, then he takes care. As we see here is that Krishna, being Bhakta Vatsala, that's what's so important to him, is that interaction with the devotees, because that's what goes on in the spiritual world. Here, we see kind of a different scene going on, because the living entities in the material world want to take all the principles of the spiritual world and the facility and knowledge and technique and use that for themselves. And because each one of them is trying to use it for themselves, then it's just a matter of who is more expert at what time and which moment by their karma and stuff like that. So sometimes in the Western phrase, they'll use dog, you know, it's a dog eat dog world. And so that's what's going on. It's just who's the bigger dog? That's all. That's who wins. Who is the more clever dog wins. And so very different, but in the spiritual world, because it's all focused around Krishna, as Prabhupada says, you put one pebble in a pond, all these concentric rings come out all the way to the bank. And so then it's like unlimited living entities can serve and everything connected to Krishna, because Krishna is the center. And so then they are able Yes, and so they're not connected with any of these things, and they're just absorbed in serving the Lord. And so then we see here, so that everyone may take advantage of facility and thus become Krishna conscious, right? So the Lord, he's always wanting to interact with these devotees. And so he comes and performs his pastimes to interact with the devotees. And as a secondary thing, then Dharma is established, you know, the opposing elements are removed. All everything gets put into order, but it's all about is interacting with the devotees. That's basically what's going on. That's the importance. And so then the devotees in their surrender to Krishna and trying to do everything for Krishna, then Krishna takes care and he protects them so that they can always be engaged in service. 3:1-6-11. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Rupa Goswami and asked him to offer prayers at the lotus feet of all the devotees present. Advaitacharya Nityananda Prabhu and all the other devotees showered their causeless mercy to Rupa Goswami by embracing him in return. Right? So Lord Chaitanya wanted him to get the blessings of the devotees, because if they're very kind, then why it won't happen? Krishna fulfills the desires of the devotees, and the devotees give a blessing. So Lord Chaitanya wants to benefit Rupa Goswami. And then by the devotees, and he likes to do things, with the devotees, through the devotees. So then when they give blessings and they shower their mercy, then Lord Chaitanya then can then bestow his mercy through that medium. You know, so in other words, he's already giving. And then you know, what naturally fits into the etiquettes and all the natural interactions, but then he can expand that to his devotees. Seeing so, they gave the shower of the causeless mercy to Rupa Goswami by embracing him in return. Seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy towards Srila Rupa Goswami, and seeing his personal qualities, all the devotees were struck with wonder. Then, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left with all his devotees, Haridas Thakur also embraced Srila Rupa Goswami. Haridas Thakur told him, "There is no limit to your good fortune. No one can understand the glories of what you have described." Srila Rupa Goswami said, "I do not know anything. The only transcendental words I can utter are those which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes me speak." Srila Prabhupada. The poet or writer dealing with transcendental subject matters is not an ordinary writer or translator, because he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever he writes becomes very effective. The principle of being empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is essential. The principle of being empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is essential. The materialistic poet who describes in his poetry the material activities of men and women cannot describe the transcendental pastimes of the Lord or the transcendental conclusions of devotional service. Right. Srila Sanatana Goswami has therefore warned all neophyte devotees that one should not hear from the mouth of a non-Vaishnava. A Vaishnava mukod girnam hutam hari katambritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarvochishtam yata ayaha. One should not hear anything about Krishna from a non-Vaishnava. Milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effects. Talks about Krishna given by a non-Vaishnava are also poisonous. Right? Why are they poisonous? Because within that, we're saying is that they're using the poetry and all that, but what's their purpose? They're describing all these things for the material benefit that they will get. Either they will get, you know, some monetary gain from that, some other facilities, some recognition. You know, and from that, then they can engage their senses however they like. So that's the mood in which they're saying it. So they're using the medium. They're talking about Krishna, but the medium is important because they have another purpose. So they're using the medium very expertly for a mundane purpose, right? While the devotees, they're taking the glories of the Lord and presenting that. That's the main thing. And then they use the ornaments of the techniques of the particular field that they're working with. So in this case, then, you know, the poetry or the glories of the Lord and all these things. And that just supports their purpose. And so we see it's opposite. It's the descending. It's starting with the glories of Krishna. It's being spoken very nicely, clearly and sweetly. And it has all the nice ornaments of the technical things. You know, nice vocabulary, language, speaking, you know, whatever techniques are there, you know, the poetic pauses and all those kind of things where they say something and then, you know, all that kind of stuff. Whatever it is, they can use it. But the point, so that's why if someone is speaking the glories of the Lord, and that clarity is there because it's absorbed in the Lord, then naturally then these other things, the qualities of the sweetness and all these things will come, and all this will come. But if they haven't come yet, you shouldn't worry about it. You worry about this. But if you say, no, unless it's sweet like this, all this doesn't matter. That means you don't even know what's of importance. You think it's no, it's professional, and that then it'll attract the professionals. No, they'll be attracted by purity. Purity is the force, not professionalism is the force. Remember, that's not the stanza. It doesn't say, how do you say? Is it? Yeah, you have to readjust it, you know, to establish that political correctness is the, you know, the essence or like that, and having those, these social qualities and all that is the thing, and then, desire for, the material benefits is going to be the professionalism and how well you did that is going to be. That medium, or that's going to be what drives it. And it doesn't say that. The point is that it's not about these things. These, like we said, they're in the third level. And so that third level is very nicely used. Like you see, it's when people do things. It's all very nice. Like you have, like you see, let's say, traditional, maybe the older traditional puja paraphernalia. Very ornate, very nicely decorated and all that. Its point is that it holds water or it pours water or it holds something or you can light a lamp in it. like this, but it's very ornamented. But that you can also use something very simple. But they've just taken and added to it. It just adds to the glory of the actual thing of offering a lamp or flowers or water. And so that's the main thing, at least just add to it. But if it's just about that and it's not used for this, then that's called a museum pieces. And so museums are famous for having wonderful stuff, but museums are famous for also being very kind of not having a high level of emotional personal kind of status. Right. So that's why then the whole thing is one has to be very, very careful is that if one thinks that, no, this is the goal or this is the actual method, no, we already have these things. These are just little techniques that you can add that makes it very nice. So it's not that they can't be used. You just have to know how you use it. Right? It means you're using it in an inductive way, then it won't get to Krishna. Using in a deductive way, if it comes down to that level, it's very amazing. But even if it doesn't, just it stays on those the more major aspects, it's still perfect. You know, like I say, so many devotees so many individuals were attracted to devotional service and surrendered their lives because of hearing from people just these. The essential points and trying to bring it out and that clarity or things like that. But they may not have technically had so many nice arrangements. But as we make the arrangements more and more nice, you don't necessarily see, is that attracting people? Because the force is in that. That's why therefore milk touched by the lips of the serpent has poisonous effects. It's still milk, you can say, but it's milk. But it has poisonous effect. Unless one is fully unalloyed devotee of the Lord, one should not try to describe the pastimes of Krishna in poetry, for it will only be mundane. There are many descriptions of Krishna's Bhagavad Gita written by persons whose consciousness is mundane and who are not qualified in pure devotion. Although they attempted to write transcendental literature, they could not fully engage even a single devotee in Krishna's service. Such literature is mundane, and therefore, as warned by Sri Sanatana Goswami, one should not touch it. 3.1.2.1.2.2.2.3. Sri Rupa Goswami concluded, although I am the lowest of men and have no knowledge, the Lord has mercifully bestowed upon me the inspiration to write transcendental literature about devotional service. Therefore, I offer my obeisances at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given me the chance to write these books for the 42. This verse is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 112. In this way, Srila Rupa Goswami passed his time in a close association with Haridas Thakur by discussing the pastimes of Lord Krishna in great happiness. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus spent 4 months with. Then the Lord bade them farewell, and they returned to Bengal. Srila Rupa Goswami, however, stayed at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when the Dol Yatra festival took place, he saw it in great happiness with the Lord. After the Dol Yatra festival ended, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Rupa Goswami also. Like Dol Yatra means, I know Dol Yatra is the Gaur Purnima, that festival. The Lord empowered him and bestowed upon him all kinds of mercy. Now go to Vrindavan and stay there, the Lord said. You may send here your elder brother Sanatana. When you go to Vrindavan, stay there, preach transcendental literature and excavate the lost holy places. Establish the service of Lord Krishna and preach the mellows of Lord Krishna's devotional service. I shall also go to Vrindavan once more. Having thus spoken, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Rupa Goswami, who then placed the lotus feet of the Lord upon his head. Srila Rupa Goswami took leave of all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and returned to Vrindavan by the path to Bengal. Thus I have described the second meeting of Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone who hears of this incident will certainly attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. One has to learn about the beauty and transcendental position of the holy name of the Lord by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of devotees. Nowhere else can we hear the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. Text 101. Chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of the Lord cannot be performed by the ordinary senses. The transcendental vibration of the Lord's holy name is completely spiritual. Thus, it must be received from spiritual sources. It must be chanted after having been heard from the spiritual master. Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the holy name of Krishna chanted by non-Vaishnavas, such as professional actors and singers. It will have no effect. As far as possible, therefore, the devotees in the Krishna conscious movement gather to chant the holy name of Krishna in public so that both the chanters and the listeners may benefit. Right? So, in other words, it's heard, received from spiritual masters, and must be heard from a spiritual master. So, in other words, you're going to hear it from the devotees, and from doing that, you're going to be able to take up the chanting. At the same time as then you have that person who then instructs you in chanting the holy name and the glories of that, and then taking up that chanting, that it has even more importance. As 101 purport. Everyone admitted that although they had heard many statements glorifying the holy name of the Lord, they had never heard such sweet descriptions as those of Rupa Goswami. Text 122. Srila Ramananda Rai said, "This is not a poetic presentation. It is a continuous shower of nectar. Indeed, it is the essence of all ultimate realizations, appearing in the form of plays. Without your mercy, such poetic expressions would be impossible for an ordinary living being to write. My guess is that you have given him the power." Text 193 and 196. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to some and neutral to others. One can actually draw the attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by service. Then one is further empowered by the Lord to act in such a way that everyone can appreciate his service. Unless empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, one cannot spread the holy name of the Lord throughout the entire world. Under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a pure devotee can preach the holy name of the Lord so that everyone can take advantage of this facility and thus become Krishna conscious. 205 purports. The poet or writer dealing with transcendental subject matters is not an ordinary writer or translator. Because he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever he writes becomes very effective. The principle of being empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is essential. A materialistic poet who describes in his poetry the material activities of men and women cannot describe the transcendental pastimes of the Lord or the transcendental conclusions of devotional service. Srila Sanatana Goswami has therefore warned all neophyte devotees that one should not hear from the mouth of non-Vaishnava. Unless one is a fully unalloyed devotee of the Lord, one should not try to describe the pastimes of Krishna poetry, for it will be only mundane, right? Because we're saying, oh, well, let's write some poetry. But Rupa Goswami is not going, let's write some poetry. He's glorifying the Lord and writing the conclusions of the scriptures in a poetic form. He's not writing poetry, right? Does that make sense? So Yuan's not trying to write on that kind of level. Right, so you can learn the techniques of poetry and all those things so we can appreciate what's going on here. Like Ramananda Rai is very much appreciating what Rupa Goswami wrote because he knows the subject matter. So in that way, it becomes a valuable thing. But one shouldn't start to write using that technique about the Lord's pastimes unless one has a fully unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Right? So the acharyas have written, so there's so much nice poetry. And we just study those, expose others to those. You know, like we see the songs of the acharyas, then hear the dramas, and then like that, perhaps. There are many descriptions of Krishna's Bhagavad Gita written by persons whose consciousness is mundane and who are not qualified by pure devotion. Although they attempted to write transcendental literature, they could not fully engage even a single devotee in Krishna's service. Such literature is mundane, and therefore, as warned by Sri Sanatana Goswami, one should not touch it. 2:11 purport. By seeing a result, one can understand the cause of that result, text 91. Right, so we see the result, how Rupa Goswami is discussing such nectar, so we understand that being able to discuss that nectar has to come from somewhere. So then where's the cause? The only one who can give that would be Lord Chaitanya himself. One has to learn about the beauty and transcendental position of the holy name of the Lord by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of devotees. Nowhere else can we hear of the sweetness of the Lord's holy name, text 101. Because right, then, you know, because there you have the sweetness, there you have the glories. You see the context, because they actually have that affection. And so then that's the whole point, to get into other technical points or get into these things, not hearing from the acharyas, then won't be as important. So that's why we hear from them, and then how much we appreciate, then we try to explain that to others. Chapter 2, the chastisement of Junya Haridas. Pratigya. One who is unfit should not accept the renounced order of life. Ajaya Prakashi. The purport of this chapter is explained by Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur in his Amrita Prabhaha Bhashya as follows. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, wanted to explain direct meetings with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, meetings with those empowered by him, and his Avyabhava appearance. Wanted to explain direct meetings with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, meetings with those empowered by him and his Avyabhava appearance. Thus he described the glories of Nrisimhananda and other devotees. A devotee named Bhagavan Acharya was especially faithful to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nonetheless, his brother, Gopal Bhatta Acharya, discoursed upon the commentary of impersonalist Mayavada. Srila Srirup Damodar Goswami, the secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, forbid Bhagavan Acharya to indulge in hearing that commentary. Later, when Junya Haridas, following the order of Bhagavan Acharya, went to collect alms from Madhavi Devi, he committed an offense by talking intimately with a woman, although he was in the renounced order. Because of this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Junya Haridas. And despite all the requests of the Lord's stalwart devotees, the Lord did not accept him again. 1 year after this incident, Junya Haridas went to the confluence of the Ganges and Yamuna and committed suicide. In his spiritual body, however, he continued to sing devotional songs, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard them. When the Vaishnavas of Bengal went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these incidents became known to Srirup Damodar and others. Shloka Rasharana. Summary of verses 1 through 83. The three ways that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the fallen souls. 84 to 100, Bhagavan Acharya. 101 to 172, the chastisement of Chota Haridas. Verses 1 to 83. The three ways that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the fallen souls. 1 through 6. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and of all the other preceptors on the path of devotional service. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnavas and unto the six Goswamis, including Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and their associates. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Advaita Charya Prabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all his devotees, headed by Sri Vasthapu. I then offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and all the gopis, headed by Lalita and Vishakha. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Advaita Acharya, and all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his incarnation as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Sri Krishna descended to deliver all the living beings in the three worlds, from Brahma Loka down to Patala Loka. He caused their deliverance in three ways. The Lord delivered the fallen souls in some places by meeting them directly, Shakshat Darshanam. In other places, by empowering a pure devotee, Avesha Karye, Akaraye, and in still other places, by appearing before someone himself, Abhyupade. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered almost all the fallen souls by directly meeting them, Sakshad Darshane. He delivered others by entering the bodies of great devotees, Avishta, such as Nakula Brahmachari. And he delivered still others by appearing before him, Abhirbhava, in the case of Nisringananda Brahmachari. I shall deliver the fallen souls, end quote. This statement characterizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, the Lord always manifested his Abhirbhava appearance in the following four places. One, the house of Srimati Satchimata. Two, wherever Nityananda Prabhu danced in ecstasy. Three, the house of Srivasa, when Kirtan was performed. And four, the house of Raghava Pandit. Lord Chaitanya himself appeared in these four places. 3, 2, 7, 10 means he's not there in his pastimes. He may be in a different place, but when these things are going on, then he would appear there. You know, I mean, if he's in Puri, he's still there, but he would appear there at Satyamata's house, or Nityananda was dancing, or Raghava Pandit, you know, because he made so much nice offerings. Srivasa Thakur's house, when he is doing kirtan. 3, 2, 7, 10. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally present, everyone in the world who met him, even once, Sakshat Darshane, was fully satisfied and became spiritually advanced. Every year, devotees from Bengal would go to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and after the meeting, they would return to Bengal. Similarly, people who went to Jagannath Puri from various provinces in India were fully satisfied after seeing the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. People from all over the universe, including the seven islands, the nine khandas, the planets of the demigods, Gandharva Loka and Kinara Loka, would go there in the forms of human beings. So all these different personalities from all over, you know, from these higher levels, they would go there in the forms of human beings just to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to take part in the pastimes that were going, you know, kirtan and Rath Yatra. Srila Prabhupada, in the Siddhanta Shiromani, chapter 1, Gola Jaya, in the Bhuvana Kosha section, the nine khandas are mentioned as follows. Aindram Kasheru Shakalam Kila Tamraparnam Anyad Gabas Timad Atas Cha Kumari Kakyam Nagam Cha Somyam Ihavarunam Antya Kandam Gandharva Samgya Samgyam iti Bharata Varsha Manye. Within Varsha, there are nine khandas. They are known as 1. Aindra, 2. Kasheru, 3. Tamraparna, 4. Gabastima, 5. Kumarika, 6, Naga. 7, Somya. 8, Varuna. And 9, Gandharva. Right. So in other words, you have the 7 islands of Bhumandala, and in the very middle is Jambudvipa, right? And then it has its different aspects, and then you have within that Varsha, then it has 9 sections. Udridi, excerpt from the commentary of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda 1.7. In the 12th wave of Bhakti Ratnakara, it was written, it is specifically mentioned in the Vishnu Purana that all of the Lord's abodes are situated within Nadia. The Vishnu Purana 2.3.6.7 states, please hear about the 9 islands of Bharatavarsha known as Indradvipa, Kasheru, Tamraparna, Ghavastiman, Naga Dvipa, Somya, Gandharva, Varuna, and the 9th, Navadvipa, which is situated near the ocean in the midst of the other 8 islands. Navadvipa extends 1,000 yojanas from north to south. So 1,000 yojanas is 8,000 miles. 8,000 miles means 1,200 kilometers. So it's big. Three, 2, 12, 11, 12. So in other words, there's things going on here that are beyond what we're perceiving. Because our thing, oh, I can't see it, so it doesn't exist. But then if that's our basis of knowledge, then it's no better than the animals. Having seen the Lord, they all became Vaishnavas. Right? All these persons who came from all over India and all over the universe. Thus, in ecstatic love of Godhead, they chanted the Hare Krishna mantra and danced. Thus, by direct meeting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the 3 worlds. Some people, however, were entangled in material activities and could not go. Right? So they couldn't go to meet him like that. Yes. 3, 2, 13, and 14. To deliver people in the regions throughout the universe who could not meet him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally entered the bodies of a Shay of pure devotees. Thus he empowered living beings, his pure devotees, by manifesting in them so much of his own devotion that people in all other countries became devotees by seeing them. To the Prabhupada. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 7.11, Kali Karera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtana Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. Unless one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot spread the holy names of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra throughout the world. Persons who do so are empowered, therefore they are sometimes called Avesha Avatars, or empowered incarnations, for they are endowed with the power of Sri Chaitanya. 3, 2, 15, 16. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the entire 3 worlds, right? So he himself went, so many people came, those that can't, then through his devotees, they went and, all over, and then they were able to catch everybody else. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the entire 3 worlds, not only by his personal presence, but also by empowering others. I shall briefly describe how he empowered a living being in Bengal. In Ambuya Muluka, there was a person named Nakula Brahmachari, who was a perfectly pure devotee, greatly advanced in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Ambuya Muluka is the present Ambika, a city in the Bardhamana district of West Bengal. Formerly, during the Muslim regime, it was known as Ambuya Muluka. In this city, there's a neighborhood called Pyariganj, and that is where Nakula Brahmachari used to live. Yeah, so now I'll give an example of how through the devotees, by being empowered, the pure devotees, then so many people are getting benefit and all that. So we're going to see now. We'll have a nice story. How that will be explained. So we'll hear that on Monday. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.